Leaders Credit Union is here for you, not just for John and myself as our wonderful studio sponsor, and we are very appreciative to them for that, their trust in us, getting the word out, come be a part of the family. They got two branches here locally in Arlington and in Bartlett. I like to visit the Bartlett branch, so where we take little CJ, make those deposits into his future Leaders Savings account. We are part of the family. John became part of the family when he went and got a home equity line of credit from Leaders. Nice, smooth application process. You can take advantage of the equity you've built up in your home. So whether it's us kids, our kids that they're helping, or us adults, Leaders can help you every step of the way on your financial journey, literally from start to finish. Let them help you with one of their checking accounts that can earn every day while you spend. It's a Champion Rewards checking account from Leaders Credit Union. You can make that checking count. LeadersCU.com/ESPN's got full details and disclosures. You can check out all that account can do for you as well. You can also do a Ford Plus High Yield Savings Account, which earns 3.5% APY. Check it all out again at LeadersCU.com/ESPN. Come be a part of the family. Leaders is your financial champion for life and federally insured by the NCUA.
Every day around this time, we do the rundown. Let's go.
It's the J&J Rundown. All the headlines presented by Stuart Plumbing. StuartPlumbing.com will cure your plumbing blues. The Rundown on 92.9.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about this earlier today, but I do want to, and I hope I'm not stealing a story from you here, but the Lakers being sold continues to be a little bit of controversy because the Buss family has remaining, 17 some odd percent of the shares in the organization. And Jeannie didn't want to sell.
She didn't want to let go.
She did not want to let go. And, you know, there was a statement that they released yesterday as a family to Shams. The Los Angeles Lakers have never been just a basketball team. They have been one of the greatest privileges of our lives. Our focus has always been on what we believe is best for the Lakers, the fans who have supported this franchise for generations, and the greater L.A. community. Johnny, Jimmy, Janie, Joey, and Jesse have made the decision to sell the family's remaining stake, and we remain united in that decision. We intend to move forward thoughtfully, respectfully, and through the appropriate process. And, you know,
so clever the way that Jerry named those kids.
It is. All the J's. Yes,
yeah. Don't stop and say that.
Yeah. You know, it is tough because, you know, it's ultimately, you know, dad, right? Jerry. I mean, this is sort of his baby. And
it was his baby. That's
and,
right.
You know, and we don't know, like, for Jeannie, maybe she has, like, she's looking at it like, this is my last sort of tie to my father, you know? I mean, there could be some of that,
and she
too.
She was more trained.
Yes.
To run the team than the other.
Exactly.
Right?
And so I think she has a very different relationship to the Lakers than Johnny, Jimmy, Janie, Jimmy, Jimmy, Jerry, Joey Dorsey.
You know, she loved her Kobe.
Yeah.
And she loved her some LeBron.
Yeah. obviously, last year, there, and again, there's like some heat between the siblings because multiple Buss siblings felt frustrated at Jeannie and misled by her over what they believe was a rush sale to Mark Walter when she sold it to him for $10 million. And so the siblings felt pressure.
Billion.
Yeah, $10 billion. Siblings felt pressure to vote yes back then. Mm. And so, of course, now it's being sold for $12.5 million. And they have 17.8, did I say million again?
Yes.
Billion.
Billions and billions.
Yes, billions. 17.8% of their shares, you know, is what they have in that $12.5 billion valuation. So again, all the Buss siblings aside from Jeannie voted Monday to use that tag along provision to sell. And I sympathize with Jeannie. Like you said, she was sort of brought up in it, and
she wanted to be a part of it.
Yeah, and she was a part of it,
that we learned in the documentary.
And she did get a title as the owner.
She did.
So I mean, you would say a mostly success. I mean, it's her and LeBron. I think like that was the
you calling the COVID title though. That's her title.
That's the one, isn't it?
I guess so. Was she running things when Kobe was winning?
I don't think so. Because
she loved her some Kobe, but she wasn't running things to the degree she was with LeBron.
Yeah, in 2020, she became the first female controlling owner to guide her team to an NBA title.
There you go.
So there you have it. I mean, that's the one they
will
got.
Will they do movies on her?
Yes.
There you. Then that's. Then, really, what else do we want to come of this?
Undeniably, they'll do movies on her.
Right.
She's an attractive woman. Easy to cast, right? Go get like,
and then you get stars to play the basketball players.
Yeah.
There's so much intrigue, family, you know, family business, the family business of the Lakers.
Yeah,
and how, you know, the rise and fall of it all.
Yeah.
And her, I feel like at the end, not wanting to let go.
Yeah.
They've already got, my wife and I watched this one, Running Point, which was inspired by Jeannie Buss and the Lakers. It's actually on currently.
Kate Hudson. I'm watching that. Yeah. It's inspired by it.
It's a very it's very loose, incredibly loose. Very loose.
I feel some of the basketball scenes
it's terrible cheesiness.
Very low budget.
Yeah, like they got nobody in the stands, and it's low rims and little short people playing tall people.
Right.
It's not.
It feels like they've spent the majority on the money on Kate Hudson.
They want the women to watch
it. On the cast.
Yeah. It's the one thing my wife and I can watch together, which is kind of odd. She loves it. I'm like, really? Okay. But you're right. It's poorly done.
It's the only thing you and your wife can watch together?
We did watch Hard Knocks last night together.
That seems to be bringing smiles to you all. You smile every time you bring it up.
I enjoy that show.
No, I mean, we should all have things we look forward to, right? I think for Brad, it's like, hey, does it air
every
Tuesday
night?
People are saying McDonald's is great, though.
Yeah.
They are saying that.
It's clearly something for Brad. He looks forward to Tuesday nights every week.
Especially in the off season, like in August, because it gives you the feel of a game, but we got nothing.
We got nothing.
So there's some feel there.
Everybody should have something. This was a GP theory that I will always subscribe to, which is everybody should always have something that they have to look forward to.
It is a great theory.
Like whether that's a show on Tuesday night, whether that's a vacation coming up, whether that's just something. Like there should always be something in your future that you can point to as your North Star and say, I am looking forward to that. Otherwise, you're just kind of going through the motions, right? You're just kind of going
through life.
And I agree. I got to find that thing. I don't know what that thing is right now. I mean, I know it will be football here soon, you know, that's going to be pretty easy to me. But I mean, do you have something you look forward to every week?
Every week?
Yeah, like just this is an appointment for me every week. Like other than, you know, for example, Sam on Wednesdays at 10 a.m. But like besides that.
The sports,
right?
You know, like a regular man.
Yeah.
Vacations also.
Yes,
factors in. Gary talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to those. But each week, no, I have a hard time finding something every single day.
Right.
Just living. Just living, just being able to get up out of bed.
When I was in Jason's
enough
shoes.
Enough of a motivator.
That's a good motivator.
Enough of a gift.
I looked forward to the kit. Like, see, Chris's games is probably way up on the list, I imagine.
Yeah, it's coming down, though. You know, as expectations go up.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I expect more of him and NIL soon.
Just have fun with it.
So the fun is really going down.
That's the way it works.
It's really, the pressure is going up, okay? And the stress is going up.
That is the way it works.
That's going to be me and how I approach things. And maybe you'll be able to talk me off that ledge.
Yeah.
Just enjoy every moment.
Yeah. You know,
enjoy it.
If you
watch the games.
When's the work come in? You want to enjoy and pat each other on the back and have a little kumbaya
about what
you've done.
Classroom.
Everything you've won so far. It's not what you did yesterday. It's what you're going to do tomorrow.
Right.
Well, and this is, you know, listen, this is an interesting.
That's how we got to motivate.
This is an interesting dynamic here because, you know, Brad went through the high school baseball career, right?
Yeah, it was
and
very fun.
And Jake went pro in something other than sports.
As I hoped.
You know?
That was the goal.
And
I feel like he could have pitched.
As Jake says, that's active income. We're looking for passive income.
Yeah, okay. So, you know.
We would like to invent something something.
I'm sure there was a time, Brad, where, you know, you were hopeful that it could be a scholarship type of thing, but it doesn't always work out like that. And that's
he got the academic.
You got to go for the academics. This is the percentages.
Yeah, exactly right. Because only 1% of high school basketball players get scholarships, right? On the college level or something like that. I don't know what the breakdown is.
That's my whole thing. Yeah, it's got to be academic or athletic.
Yeah,
one or the other. Either one, I'm holding
or you
up
can combine
as the same
it.
Value. If you can, hey,
yeah,
if we can combine them,
D2 is really good at making
great.
A full ride out of half and half, by the way.
You know who D2 who was
I
D2.
Don't want to put you in D2, though. I want to put you in the SEC.
I'm not trying to D2 is legit, bro.
I'm about to back that up.
Yeah.
Trinidad Chambliss was D2.
Hey, thank you. Ferris State.
Marcus Stokes.
Thank
D2.
You.
D2.
West Florida.
How do we know that Marcus Stokes isn't going to come up here and Trinidad Chambliss this thing?
We don't
I'm
know.
I'm just saying, Jason.
We don't
when
know.
He was a finalist.
We don't know.
For the award, the Harlan Hill.
He didn't win that thing, though.
He didn't win it.
He's
but
in it.
Did Chambliss win it?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Well,
don't
we
think
need to
so.
Look that up because no one had the tape on him last year.
Curtis Allen won it last year. He scored 30 touchdowns and rushed for 2,400 yards.
If Chambliss did what they say he did, you would think he was a finalist for it too, if not a winner for it for Harlan Hill. Point being, Look at what he did at Ole Miss last year. They're expecting big things
this
year. He
finished third in voting for the 2024 Harlan Hill.
Mm-hmm. And I've just stumbled upon some, haven't I, here? And we've got a higher finisher.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus Stokes is all day your starter.
Yes.
We can't wait to see him out there.
I mean, if you finish second or third for the Harlan Hill, it's got to, it means something.
Trinidad Chamness, fool.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he put up a monster year last year in the SEC.
I mean, Ole Miss is top 10 in the AP.
Yes.
It's pretty crazy.
Many predicting that he's going to be able to do it again.
Pretty crazy.
Which, seeing him do that after Lane Kiffin, that'll be something because, doing it with Golding. But if he does again, bro, you better get in that draft. I know he's only 6 foot tall, but
right.
If he goes and does that again, tears up the SEC again, put him in the draft.
Yeah, put him in the draft, absolutely. Abso-freaking-lutely. So, anyway.
Marcus Stokes, baby. Big things coming.
Yeah, but so this is the point we were trying to make, though. Sometimes with your parent or, whatever the case may be, you have connections and you don't want to let go. You don't want to let go. And
like y'all on that Coliseum.
That's right. If the sale of the remaining shares does go through, Jeannie would lose her status as governor of the franchise. She did have a previous deal with Walter to remain as governor through 2030. So she's probably fighting that as well. I mean, she doesn't need the money. She's never going to have an NBA team again, probably. So she's losing control of something that she's had for her entire life. I understand why she's fighting it tooth and nail, and I hope they can figure it out. There's nothing that is harder to do and work through than a familial dispute like this over property. And I know, none of us have ever had something like this, but we've all been through it where, the patriarch or the matriarch of the family passes, and then who gets this and who gets that and who gets this and who gets that? And it can break and split our family if you let it. It truly can. And it seems like that is unfortunately happening here because five of the six want to be done with it, and the sixth doesn't. So it's a tough situation, but hopefully they can figure it out there in La La Land.
Next story.
Again, want to apologize to Jonah Dillon because those quotes from Ed Scott were coming from his story of a commercialappeal.com, and I've got a couple pulled up from CA.com from him and from Munns. This one is from Jason Munns. It's about a professor over at Rhodes College that has been charged with fraud by a horse racing group. Faces a lifetime ban. The story came out yesterday. We didn't get around to it. I think I'd missed it before yesterday's story. Again, this one from Jason Munns over at Commercial Appeal. Marshall Graham is a horse owner and professor of economics at Rhodes, here in Memphis, obviously. He's facing a lifetime ban from the sport after being charged with fraud for unauthorized access to confidential horse health information. The Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Authority announced on August 17th, was 2 days ago. This had been on Monday. Graham, a noted sports bettor, okay, not just a horse owner, he's a noted sports bettor. That's why I thought this story would really interest John. Being accused of deliberately and methodically using the HISA, HISA, that's the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Authority portal, to gain access to veterinary records and data on each of the 9 horses he claimed during a period from early May to mid-June 2026. Those records should only be accessible to the horses' connections and regulatory veterinarians. According to the HISA's press release, Graham took to social media to defend himself, posting a lengthy statement on X. I used my own account and credentials and never attempted to conceal my identity or circumvent HISA's security. Once logged into my account, I bypassed no security protocols or other safeguards to access the information. HISA claims Graham's actions were done in a manner designed to mimic authorized activity to avoid detection by HISA's security systems. It's charged has also charged Graham with participation in a handicapping contest, engaging in peri-mutual wagering, and claiming multiple registered horses. They've likened, at least the HISA CEO, Lisa Lazarus, has likened Graham's actions to insider trading during a press conference that she had held on Monday, August 17th. Now, as unfamiliar as I am with betting on horse racing in this day and age and the info that you can get on these horses in terms of their veterinary records, I'm lost here in terms of how much knowledge you should have and how much knowledge you should be able to get. But clearly in his position,
yep,
as both an owner and a bettor, who's, when you say he's claiming the horses,
yep,
can you just claim them without You have to own them to claim them, right? That's where I'm a little bit confused.
Yep.
But clearly you have a very smart guy, because everyone associated with Rhodes in terms of those professors, the students, and everything else, you have to be on that, you know, on a whole nother level in terms of your smarts. Smart guy here that at least has been charged with trying to game the system.
Yep.
Interested to see if they'll be able to prove that he did.
Yeah, I mean... You know, horse racing is not an area that I am familiar in at all. When it comes, I don't bet it. I don't
like.
I don't.
Where would you go first of all, just in general? Because you're not doing that on DraftKings and FanDuel, right?
No,
just
for us squares. No. You cannot do it there.
So you have to go somewhere else.
Yes.
See, that's why my knowledge of this is zilch.
I mean, there are like physical sports books like that may be owned by DraftKings that may offer horse racing. Because like, they go off all day, right? Like, that's the thing. Horse racing goes off all day. But there's, like, a specific section that you go to for the horse racing. It's very different.
Can I go do it at Southland, sit there and bet on horses out of state or somewhere else?
That I do not know.
Okay. Used to be able to? I feel like you used to. Like, there were people there doing that. I mean, could be just
that
up.
It feels correct, but I can't say for sure. I can't say for sure. But, I mean, obviously, it seems like, you know, it's just he's saying that I didn't hack into it, but I took advantage of it all the same. So, it seems like a loophole that will not fly. But
right.
I don't really know the particulars of it. But it is the horse racing community definitely is frowning upon it. There's no doubt about that. But again, that's a world, man, where I just don't know the first thing about it.
I wonder optically for Rhodes, if anything happens.
I mean,
here.
it's the fact that he's been charged with cheating, at minimum, the system is unethical. And so,
you wonder about his spot in terms of a professor of economics, what this might do in terms of the outside, in terms of his status with Rhodes.
Yeah.
So interesting story involving horse betting,
yes,
and maybe the gaming of a system.
They have simulcast horse racing at Southland.
Thought so.
They also have a DraftKings outlet there. That's who does their other off-campus stuff. Since they let go of the Greyhounds, they have the off-campus stuff through DraftKings.
So there's some folks over there would know about this stuff.
Yeah,
that
it's seedy. As somebody who's done a little bit of horse gambling, because grew up, you know, up north, they do a good bit of this. There's Fairmount Track just outside of St. Louis that FanDuel just bought their track. But they have the Twin Spires. It's usually a separate app now. Like, you have to go to the Twin Spires app. You can't draft. Like, DraftKings doesn't do the Kentucky Derby. They have their own. And it's very seedy because of this type of stuff. Because there's a lot of people who are in that barn who know what the hell's going on with that horse.
And you don't.
And I don't.
That have that information, you don't. Yep.
There's a lot of shoot 'em up. There's a lot of steroids. Like, my dad used to joke, and I know John's laughing about this. My dad used to go, look at the one that takes a crap before the race. Mm-hmm. And, there's a lot of, I mean, it's a damn animal.
Yeah.
It's letting the horse out of the barn here. So this is a seedy sport. It's very seedy.
You're bringing me back to the Greyhounds. There's a listener named Rusty who messaged me like 10 years ago, and he was a Greyhound guy. He raced Greyhound. He said, I just want to let you know that we had a Greyhound. He's a listener to the station.
He's trying to give you some intel.
And we named him after you.
Oh, the John Martin
John Martin Greyhound. And he won his first race.
Oh.
And has had some trouble since. And his brothers were named Gary Parrish and Chris Vernon. And I never got a chance to. This was 2015.
It's funny.
I never got a chance to.
I remember
to meet the dog, but he was sent to Florida. I know that this was 10 years ago, so he's probably no longer with us. But he was sent to Florida and never got a chance to meet him. But
here comes Rusty.
That was the other thing about Rusty. Rusty was the rabbit.
Yeah, it was the chasing that damn rabbit. You never get it.
But, no more Greyhounds named after us because they don't do the Greyhounds race anymore. I think they still maybe do them in Florida.
Yeah, down south they do them. I loved the dogs, and I know there's the ethical part.
Maybe John Martin found a nice home.
I hope he did.
Retired home.
I hope so. I mean,
retiree community.
Yeah. You win your first race, and then you get in trouble since. That sounds about right. That absolutely tracks. So, I think there's still some legal Greyhound racing somewhere.
Remote bet at the track, as Brad said. People are telling me you can do it.
Yeah, not a good look for this professor of economics.
He's trying to do some sophisticated gaming of the system is what it sounds like.
They'll probably see this through for his quote-unquote court stuff. But
will he keep his job at Rhodes?
If he's if he's indicted or if he loses the case, he won't.
Okay.
No, they'll let him go. I'm not trying to speak for Rhodes here. And there's this upscale institution.
Integrity.
Yeah. They have a lot of optics. I mean, we got Supreme Court people coming through there now.
West Virginia is the only state in the United States that has greyhound racing, legal greyhound racing.
So also, we're
not even
betting
Florida?
It out of
not
West Virginia.
No kidding.
So it's all happening in West Virginia?
Yeah. I want to say, like, Florida, that must have changed in the last.
Well, this is horses.
I have relatives used to love this.
This is
dogs.
Yeah,
okay.
This is greyhound.
Campbell greyhound racing, none of that stuff is doing it anymore. I guess they do. It's all off site horse betting now.
Yeah, but it's all, listen, Florida banned it in 2020.
There you go.
But it's all the same. Like, you had horse racing, you had greyhounds, right? You had all of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what'll happen to our man Graham at Rose, but I don't think that's a look they want to be associated with. Would be my guess. I could be wrong, but that'd be my guess. All right, Jason Fitz is going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about the NFL and more. Stick around, J&J, 90 FM. Yes. Oh, it's been too long. It's been too long since we've had a chance to catch up with our good buddy Jason Fitz. He's a host of the Yahoo Sports Daily on Yahoo Sports. Catch him on Fox Sports Radio, and he joins us now. Fitz, it's been too long, man. How the hell are you?
Man, I'm better than I deserve. I feel good, and boy, it's good to hear y'all's voice. How are we feeling? How's everybody doing over your way?
We're still standing, you know?
Still here.
Still standing. And in the media business,
come on now.
That's hard to do. It's hard to still stand in the media business in the same place.
Can't take it for granted.
You know? So, I mean, unless you're Pat McAfee, you know?
Yeah. I mean, look, Pat certainly, like, now he's got Monday Night Countdown going on, too. Like, hey, if you're Pat, things are glorious for one Pat McAfee. But you're right. For the majority of us, I always say, like, I used to say in the music business, like, if you're keeping your lights on, you're winning. Like, in the entertainment business in general, the more I'm around it, I just think, like, longevity is maybe the greatest gift you can ever try and accomplish.
Yeah, I do want to get your thoughts directionally on Pat. I don't remember, if we had talked about Pat in your time at ESPN, but obviously he's everywhere. Like, he's in the news today. He's going to be on the Monday Night Studio Show. Like, he's just everywhere on ESPN. He's on Game Day. All the major entities and properties that ESPN has, it feels like they are going to involve and include Pat McAfee. Obviously, they must have a reason to do that, but just as a viewer, what do you think of that decision? There's so much Pat McAfee on ESPN now.
Well, I mean, I think it speaks to the fact that Pat has become, if not he's tied to be the face of ESPN with Stephen A. We did this a few years ago with Stephen A, where they put him absolutely everywhere. And, when you've signed the type of deal he has, we all know that ESPN – the minute you sign there is going to get as much juice out of the squeeze as they possibly can. And, right. The thing of it is, like, at the end of the day, the year I was out with Game Day, Pat was also on that season, not the whole season, but he was on bits and pieces of that, had the chance to be around him and work around him. And he works tirelessly, and he's got a huge team around him that works their tail off. And, they've got a thing. Like, they've got a thing that is blown up together. And so, I'm not surprised, because the minute ESPN signs you, they're going to get as much out of you as they possibly can. And, honestly, the other side of it is, I always say, like, ESPN studies the metrics down to the second. So they must believe that this is what people want, is more Pat. But at the end of the day, my biggest thing, and I haven't talked to Pat in a while, but my biggest thing is I just hope he's really happy. Like, he's achieving success that most of us in this business would give anything to get. And, whether it's, putting out a record because he wants to, or whether it's appearing on every single show, like, he can do whatever he wants for the rest of time at this point. So I just hope he finds joy in that process, because certainly social media can be loud, but he just needs to shut that out and live in his own world and be happy. I hope he's happy.
There you go. Can't spread yourself so thin that it's wearing you down. I hear that, Fitzy, completely. On Pat McAfee. Moving to you all's, because I'm looking at you and I'm looking at John, your Raiders. I'm very curious, Fitzy. How soon do you think we'll see Fernando Mendoza, knowing how good Kirk Cousins certainly plans to be? I'm sure he has no intentions of backing down. When do you think we see Mendoza under center for the Raiders?
It's interesting, because it's not going to be, I don't think, at the beginning of the season. And the schedule has a a trap in it that is really difficult. So if you look at it and say, okay, they start the regular season against the Dolphins and the Chargers and the Saints, that's fine. But then they have a stretch where they go Chiefs, Patriots, Bills, Rams. Like, I just don't think for that stretch you want to put them anywhere near it. After that, they have the 49ers and Seahawks, Broncos again. Like, playing him is I'm not sure going to help a lot of wins. So I still think that the Raiders would prefer for him to sit as long as he possibly can to learn. That being said, every report and every reporter I've talked to that's been at practice, and I've talked to people that have seen it up close, they keep saying the same thing over and over and over again. It's becoming pretty undeniable. So, you know, in a beautiful world, does he get time to develop? Maybe, but also, I'm not sure. We'll see. He's going to play, you know, some time with the ones this week in preseason. I just wonder if he eventually just puts so much pressure on them that they have to put him on.
What did you – I mean, I was talking about on the show, it was the first time I've been excited about a quarterback since – I had to pretend that I was excited about Geno. I won't say I was pretending, but I thought he'd be better than he was. But I'm just talking about in terms of young, future-type quarterback since obviously Derek Carr was drafted in 2014, and he came in and he lit the preseason up. What, if anything, did you take out of Fernando Mendoza's first action? I'm trying to keep it, you know, cool, but I thought he looked incredible in the action that he got.
He was under center more than he's ever been under center. His footwork was really good. I asked Dan Orlovsky on Yahoo Sports Daily, I asked him, what can I actually watch that I can take away from it? And he said at the time, look for comfort and look for going through your progressions and your reads. Watch his head, watch his feet, see if he resets. This was all before the game. He did every single – it's like he was watching Orlovsky's interview, and I was like, okay, I'll answer all those check marks. Like, I don't think that debut could have gone much better in that situation, not because he played – not just because he put up good numbers, but also because he played. He passed the eye test in those numbers that he put up. I thought that was incredible. And to your point, you know, look, we could all talk about Derek Carr. But Derek Carr was the second-round draft pick that we hoped would turn out as a fan base to be a great quarterback. The Raiders have not had this much, I mean, hope at the young quarterback, developmental quarterback position since Jamarcus Russell. And if you are, let's say, I don't know, 40, if you're 50, my God, if you're 50 years old right now, Jamarcus Russell and Todd Marinovich are the best first-round quarterbacks that this organization has drafted in your lifetime if you're 50. So I think we're allowed to be a little excited about Fernando right now.
How about the Cowboys? You buying stock in them, Fitzy? I'd frame it this way. Have they beefed up that defense enough? With Kenny Clark now, you've got Quinnen Williams next to him. You brought in Caleb Downs. You know, are they built better than when they had Micah, where you could get a sack or two, but you couldn't stop the run, to a point now where they complement that offense enough that you're buying them in that East over Philadelphia?
Yeah, I am, because I think Caleb Downs was the best player in the NFL draft, hands down.
Yeah.
I think he's going to turn out to be the best player in this entire draft process. So I love Caleb Downs. And then on top of that, even just adding Von Miller. Von Miller had 9.5 sacks last year for the Commanders on 250 snaps on a team that was bad. Imagine what he's doing with an offense that's going to have people chasing. You're going to have to throw the ball more. If you just added 9 sacks to the Cowboys sack total last year,
yeah,
they would have had the 12th best defense in the NFL. So, like, all they have to do is be okay defensively, they're going to be – and plus, you got George Pickens, who I genuinely believe that Pickens is the number one and the superstar, not CeeDee right now. I think Pickens is a better wide receiver this year than CeeDee, and he's playing for money. So I look across the board when you take all of that and then you take the dysfunction of whatever is going on in Philadelphia. Yeah, I think the Cowboys should be the favorite in the NFC. The problem is, what do you get for that? The opportunity to get your butt whooped by the Rams?
The Rams are
just so much better than everybody.
Yep.
But I think the Cowboys have more Super Bowl potential this year than they have in the last decade.
I was talking to a friend last week, and he was like, I got an NFL future for you that, like, nobody's talking about, that for the Super Bowl, that nobody's talking about, that nobody's thinking about, that you're going to love. I'm like, all right, let me hear it. He goes, the Baltimore Ravens. And I'm thinking about it. I'm like, you know, okay. And people kind of, you know, lower on Lamar than usual and new coach and everything like that. And I'm like, okay, let me just see. This might be some sneaky. They're third. They're third in the Super Bowl odds at 12-1. So, Fitz, I'll ask you this way. Does that seem high to you? It seemed a little high to me based on the offseason that they had.
That's rich for my blood with new everything. I mean, how many times do we have to see new coaches come in and then we just decide that new coaches are going to have tremendous success, new coordinators are going to be just fine, and I know Lamar year one with every new coordinator has had a lights-out season. That's what people keep banking on, but that to me is a little like using a scratch-off lottery ticket to pay your mortgage. I don't love it. So, you know, at the end of the day, do we really know if Jesse Minter is a good coach? I have no idea. Frankly, if the Ravens win the division, that is such an absolute just statement about the stupidity of the Bengals. Like, there's one team in the division that turned around and didn't make any changes and then added Dexter Lawrence. There's one team in the division that feels like they didn't need to blow anything up to get to the Super Bowl, and that's the Bengals. So if the Ravens turn around in year one with the new coach, I just, man, any fan of any team that stinks knows this. Once you start a revolving door at coach, you never know what you're getting. Mm. So I'm just not willing to turn around after 18 years of Harbaugh and be like, oh, yeah, you nailed the next coach too. Okay, let's see, because we have no proof of concept.
Fitzy, are you leaning Pats, and it's a much more difficult schedule this year than it was for them last year, or are you leaning Bills in the AFC East?
I think I'm leaning Bills. And I mean, I still don't think the Pats were a Super Bowl team last year. The Pats were a really lucky team last year, which is great. Like, I don't fault that. Amazing. You're lucky. If we played that season 100 times with regular strength of schedule with that team, how would we feel? Remember, yeah. Washington feasted on an schedule and then looked like they were going to be world beaters after they lost the NFC Championship game. And then last year they sucked, right? So I have a hard time believing that this Patriots team, even with A.J. Brown, who I do think is a huge addition, and I think Drake May is a star, but man, the Bills are a more talented football team. I don't believe in the record that the Patriots put up last year. So even though I still think the Patriots are probably a 10-win team,
yep,
I'm not sure that wins you the East.
Yeah, talking to Jason Fitz, of course, Yahoo Sports, The Daily does a great job there. And then, Matt, I really would be remiss if I did not ask you, and I think you're comfortable talking about it, but we talked about it on the show, double bypass surgery. You know, you made lifestyle changes, you got super serious about your health and your fitness, and you still had to get double bypass surgery. So if you're comfortable, I'd love for you to share a little bit about that journey with our audience. I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here. We have a lot of really fat people in Memphis. I mean, it's just the truth. So, you know, health is important. And so I would love for you to share anything about your journey that you're comfortable sharing.
Yeah, I'm an open book with it because I think we all need to hear this stuff. So for me, just to put it in context, I hired a trainer a couple of years ago that really started to change my life. He was the one that said when I hired him that I had to go spend $300 on blood work. And I thought it was the biggest waste of money of all time. And then I got the blood work back and there were two scores that were bad. And one's called your lipoprotein A score. And the other was my cardiac calcium score. And so the lipoprotein A tells you that you have a genetic marker, and the cardiac calcium score tells you, you probably have plaque in your veins. And so, but the thing is, I had no symptoms. So I went through that whole process for 2 years of training. I went to several different cardiologists and they kept saying, if you don't have any symptoms, any chest pain, I'm sure you're fine. And I ended up, the fourth cardiologist was the one that finally said, what can I do to make you more comfortable? So you stop freaking out about what might be wrong. And I asked for the dye test where they put the dye in and they can see what goes through your heart and everything. So they ordered a dye test for me. And the day that I got the call that I was going to need at some sort of procedure, I had just run sprints on an indoor football league field, completely asymptomatic, best shape of my life. Wow. I had just run sprints with the football team, and the cardiologist called me and said, get a heart rate monitor. You cannot elevate your heart rate anymore. We're putting you in for an emergency catheter. So they tried to put a stent in to open the heart up. And we got, you know, I went in a few days later and they got all the way to the final portion of that. And the doctor doing the stent said, I really think you should talk to a surgeon. So 2 days later, I was in front of a surgeon and before you know it, I had to wait a little bit for some medication to get out of my body. So for a month, I had to wear a heart rate monitor everywhere. And then they went in and they did a double bypass a month ago tomorrow. So they literally sawed me open and replaced two arteries in my heart. And I say all this because, like, all the way up to the day of my surgery, never had a single chest pain, never had a single issue. I had three massive blockages in my heart. I've now had three different doctors tell me it's a miracle I didn't have a widowmaker. It's a miracle I'm alive. So get blood work. I tell everybody, like, go get blood work, because just because you feel good doesn't mean you are good. You know, so for me, it's a genetic thing I've likely been living with for a very long time in my life. And it just got to a point that those blockages were what should have been catastrophic. I had over a 98% blockage at the widowmaker. I should be dead. So, you know, the great news is doctors cleared me Friday already for activity. I'm walking over 10 miles a day right now already because they're allowing me to. I'm working my tail off in rehab to make sure I'm in the best shape. You know, as soon as they'll let me start lifting weights in the gym, I'm going to lift weights in the gym and I'm going to continue this trajectory. It is not a curse that I had this. It's a blessing they found it. I'm lucky to be alive and I'm going to use this opportunity to continue to spread the message. So yeah, everybody just ask your doctor for blood work on your heart. And if anybody, if you remember anything, lipoprotein A, cardiac calcium score, ask for those. Not all blood work gets that. Ask your doctor for your calcium score, your protein score. Those are two easy words to remember. They can order that blood work for you. Your insurance can cover it, and it can make sure that you don't have something going on in your heart that you didn't know about.
That's amazing. Thank you for doing that. That's a great story, and we're glad to hear that you're all good and back to doing what you love to do, my man. This has been long overdue. Hope we can do it more often. Fitz, you're the man.
God bless you, Fitzy.
Always. And look, guys, I'm going to get a massive Tin Man tattoo right over the scar on my chest if I lay out a heart. Come on. It's an excuse to get more ink. Let's go.
There you go, man. I love your attitude. I love your outlook, and I love you, buddy. Have a good one. Thanks for the time, as always.
Thank you, Fitzy.
Love you, boys. Thanks for having me. Thanks.
Yep.
Pleasure.
He is Jason Fitz. Just a dose of, you just love the attitude, right? It's like, you know, take the lease on life and be grateful for it and, you know, use it in a positive way.
Yeah, I needed to hear that, especially men our age, Fitz's age. Don't have to be fat, obviously. And he was in great shape, or certainly thought he was. And clearly, going and doing that blood work told him something completely different.
Yeah.
And so I thank God he found that trainer that he did that convinced him to do the blood work. You know, that relationship was enough of one that Fitzy went ahead and did it, because otherwise you don't find it. I mean, you could make the argument that the trainer helped save his life right there, because clearly the test did.
Absolutely.
And so it's a great reminder for somebody like me, especially my age now, who, hey, maybe on the outside you think you're healthy. You think you're doing things that will improve your health, but you could already have something going on, so you need to get checked out.
Absolutely.
For all of us, man.
All of us.
Especially.
No doubt about it. Good stuff there from Jason Fitz. All right, we'll come back, wrap this up on a Wednesday. J&J, 90 Turn FM, ESPN.
Over at Robert Irwin Jewelers, it is the 60% off sale going on. This is the real deal. This Saturday, August the 22nd, real 60% off sale. For 6 hours, starting at 10 a.m. on Saturday, you get 60% off anything in the showcase. That's diamond anniversary bands, diamond rings, diamond pendants, all 60% off. Designer jewelry, engagement rings, wedding bands, you name it. It's in-store only. Visit them at the RIJ at 376 Perkins across from Laurel Woods Shopping Center.
There you go. Sale starts at 10 a.m. That's when you're going to get best selection. And best believe folks will be there at 10 a.m. The line will start then because they know. You want to get there early when Howie's putting on one of these sales. Ends at 4 p.m., and it's this Saturday only, as John said, at 376 Perkins across from Laurelwood Shopping Center. Of course, it's the Perkins location here of Robert Irwin Jewelers. Don't go to the wrong one. Don't go to the one out in Bartlett expecting to get this six-hour sale. Only happens from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and again, it is this Saturday. So get yourself set. Get the gas in your car right now, so that you don't need to stop and get gas before you go out to see Howie. You want to be the first one there. For complete details on the sale, visit rijewelers.com. You can also follow them on social media at rijewelers.
All right, we're back. J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Some news in the NFL. Alvin Kamara is going to be out for at least a month with an MCL sprain, a sprained, I should say, MCL, according to ESPN. He's playing for the Saints on a reworked contract already that will pay him a base salary of $6 million with a chance to make up to $8.5 million with incentives. Had to rework that to get kind of, retained and brought back because the Saints brought in Travis Etienne. So he's going to be the bell cow there for sure, worth more than $12 million a year. That's a pretty interesting backfield, Etienne and Kamara, but you could just tell Kamara has no burst left. Like he's
right. Could be useful in this sense, right?
Where
you're the change of pace or whatever else, or the not so much the change of pace, but the guy's got a little energy.
Yes.
Maybe keeps a little tread on your tire.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely. Before the reworked contract for Kamara, they were spending the most in the NFL on their salary cap on the running back room. So
wow.
Yeah.
I don't think I realized that.
Yeah, they were. I mean, you got two running backs there with Etienne making 12 a year plus six with, I mean, that's 18 million. That's 18 million tied up. And I'm sure there's more now, but before that, he was making 12 million. So that would have been 24 million.
Right.
So I guess, you know, they figured out a way, hey, let's keep you here with the Saints. And it's the only team he's ever played for, but you got to take a lot less. So.
I was checking out this thing. I didn't know you didn't intend to go here, but CBS Sports put together like a list of the 11 most overpaid players in the NFL, team of them. It's offense and defense. It's not like all of one or the other.
Yeah.
But your guy Jeremiah Love is in there for the guaranteed money that he got as a rookie
it
that compares
sense.
To Gibbs and all the rest of them. It has blown my mind that they gave him $50 million in guaranteed money as a rookie running back.
Yeah.
Which is what the market is giving the top running backs right now.
Yeah.
When you put that on me, I've still not been able to wrap my head around it, and CBS Sports has got him as one of the most overpaid guys in the NFL as a result of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just
crazy that Arizona did that deal for him.
Yeah.
You didn't have to go that far.
Did not have to go that far.
It's crazy.
I mean, again, you obviously have super high hopes for him. You know,
gonna have super high hopes on him with less than $53 million, I think it is guaranteed. It's more than some of the top backs,
right? Yeah,
who have already earned it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's nuts.
But there you have it. Kamara's hurt for the Saints. Going to miss first couple weeks of the season at minimum. It's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Jason Fitz for joining us on the show. Thanks to Sam Hardiman as well. Jeffrey and company, they're up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.